Welcome to the Send Network Podcast, a resource for pastors, planters, and everyday missionaries looking to multiply new churches in places of great need. And now your hosts, Jeff Christofferson and Tim Wheat.
Hello and welcome again to the Send Network Podcast. This is Tim Wheat with Jeff Christofferson, and today we are excited about the conversation to come. Hey, Jeff, anything you want to say to our audience listening to us right now?
Well, what we're about to talk about in many ways could be a game changer for North America if we really get to what we're talking about. And we're really talking about starting church planter pipelines within the church. And so the church seeing itself as the mission sending agency, where it looks at its pews and finds church planters and has a process of developing them. And so this is really exciting.
Yeah, and what I have enjoyed about this conversation, it has been a conversation that all of us in our team here at the Send Network have been discussing about helping churches become multiplying churches. And today we're going to be joined with Chad Childress. Anything you want to say about Chad and what he's doing with the
pipeline? Well, I mean, he's been involved in this kind of work for many, many, many years. And so it's just been fun to watch him as he's interviewed many residencies, just kind of find out where we are and then how do we actually give something that will be very, very helpful to churches. So he's uniquely qualified for this.
Yeah, this is one of the most exciting conversations again that we're having, because this is the heartbeat of what we're trying to do, is to create a movement of helping churches move from just reproduction to multiplying.
That's right.
So, hey, with that, let's get to this interview.
Today we're talking about something that I am really, honestly excited about. We've done a lot of revolutionary, groundbreaking kinds of things at the Send Network, which has set us up for the stewardship of a life of a planter, to making sure that he is invested and prepared to really expand the kingdom of God through the work that he's going to be doing and planting the church. But this thing we're going to be talking about next is something that has the potential for movement. And so I have with me Tim Wheat and Chad Childress. And Chad, you give leadership to our church planting pipeline, which is the substance of what we're talking about.
That's right. Yep. I'm excited about it. It's been great. And yeah.
Wow. Well, that sounds exciting.
What I'm excited about is that I know the three of us and others, but particularly the three of us, have had a lot of conversations over the last several months, if not years, about multiplying churches and particularly how we are trying to help churches grow up church planters. Mm-hmm. And so what's exciting about this conversation today and Chad, your leadership, is that you're giving leadership to that. It's something that we've talked about, we've dreamed about, that we said, yeah, absolutely, we need to do this. And now we're kind of making strategic steps towards that. So
while Chad has a cup of coffee here and wakes up, let me just kind of rehearse where we are. The state of the church in North America, we're at like 4% of our churches are somewhere in reproducing. I think in Southern Baptist it's actually less than that, but on average, the evangelical church. 16% is in an addition. They've got more people on Sunday morning than they did the year before. And 80% of churches are declining. And so if we fast forward into the future, and I was just actually talking with Alan Hirsch, and we were talking about how the church in Europe, the church in Australia, the church in Canada has had the wrong idea of what church is, and now, you know, really much is almost non-existent. And the trajectory where we're heading in the United States is not far different from that. And so this subject is crucial. And then secondly, when we're looking at the audience, who most of the people are going to be listening to are church planters, we're talking about helping them become a pipeline that reproduces.
Yeah, the numbers are staggering to think through, you know, where we are and where we want to be. Is exciting, though, is just as exciting. So for us to think through, you know, churches, and we'll talk, I think, later what our goal is. But I think, you know, as we fast forward and think about the potential of churches multiplying, not just adding It's exciting, and to give them something that they can take and make their own is really exciting.
So recapturing a little bit of, again, part of our conversations have been to help churches understand the biblical mandate to multiply. And I think there's been seasons where, particularly of late, that the church lost that. Mm. And this is now an opportunity for us to come alongside of them and help them recapture that mandate and to actually have a tool and some resources to actually multiply.
Because the church growth era was really about come and listen and be a part of building this thing. And we're talking about really maybe going back to an earlier version of the church where it was about making disciple makers that make disciple makers and multiply. And so, so Chad, one of the things we're looking at is we've been spending a lot of time looking for church planters. And so you would get emails, Tim would get emails, conventions, denominations, everybody's sending emails saying, I'm looking for a stud.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a 5-star church planter. And everybody's on their iPhone sending emails back and forth, really just saying, you got somebody. And then you did a study on church planting residencies. Mm-hmm. And why don't you just describe some of the things that you discovered?
Yeah, for the most part, when I looked at residencies, and speaking of the emails, and everybody's looking for the same person,
right.
They want the individual that's going to be able to go in and capture the attention and to launch large and do a great job. And most all of those residencies were calling the same people,
right.
And so they're trying to attract those individuals. And so, as you know, you fast forward that, it becomes just this dry pond, as we say. And I think that's where residencies found themselves, is they're going after the same individuals. Mm-hmm. And in most cases, the residencies would bring someone from the outside, and this is most cases, bring someone from the outside and implant the DNA of that
right.
church and
right.
then send them out, which is great. We want to celebrate that, and we want to see that happen.
I would do that.
Exactly. Yeah. But at what point does the well just become completely dry or the
right.
pond become completely dry? And I think that's kind of where we find ourselves.
Yeah, so we're trying to back the bus up a little bit and say, okay, we're not just planting churches out of ready-made church planters, but now how do we look at our congregation differently?
Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of the residency, I mean, I was a part of one of those before my time here at NAM. And so that was kind of the challenge that I had is I had permissions to actually try to help grow up some church planters, but I also was given the challenge to go and find those church planters and realize quickly that a lot of hooks were in that pond going
right.
for a few guys. And
so we fished out the pond and nobody's restocking the pond.
Nobody's restocking the pond. And
right.
and that's when, at least for me and again from our conversations, it's like the church planters of tomorrow are sitting in our pews today.
That's right.
Or our chairs, depending on your context. And so how can we come alongside of them and help pastors who's never planted, churches who maybe have never been a part of planting another church, come along and help them recapture that and to develop those planters from within. Yeah.
So we've been spending 2 years building something we're about to release widely this fall,
that's right.
2017, and called the Church Planter Pipeline.
That's right.
And it's about discovering a planter, developing them, and then deploying them in teams to go plant. So let's talk about the discover part first. Chad, how does a church planter get involved in that?
Yeah, well, I think the first kind of part of that is to make sure that multiplication is something that is in their DNA. They first have to own the responsibility of making sure that they're going to multiply. And we spend a lot of time. Well, how soon is too soon to multiply? And how quick? But we feel like putting that in the DNA early mm-hmm. as you can is important. So, making sure it's in front of your people, making sure they know that they're always going to be sent, that they're in a culture that is ascending culture, and so they're not there to stay. And so as a church planter begins to kind of process that and to think through this is the culture that I'm creating, then the people automatically begin thinking that. And so it makes movement along this pipeline a little easier. So I think one of the first steps, and I'm excited about, we're about to also release a new pre-assessment. And so all the pre-assessment tools that we've been using, we've learned a lot. And so we're collecting a lot of that learning or that information and bringing that into kind of a one-stop shop for pre-assessment.
Right. So we had strung together a bunch of the best-in-class assessment tools for different things that we were looking for. And now we've integrated them into a single place where we're not – it's a lot quicker, simpler, and we're not being so repetitive.
Yeah. And so, Chad, you talked about the pre-assessment tool. Why don't you give the 30,000-foot view of what this pipeline – there's conversations about pipelines that are going on these days. Mm. So tell us a little bit about the whole scope of the pipeline that we're about to release and encouraging churches to consider.
Yeah, so I think pre-assessment is kind of that first starting point. Is let's determine really where they belong
within this pipeline. So that's the discovery part.
Yeah, and so as you think through that starting point, it really is. It's going to be a tool that helps you as well as us determine the best placement within the pipeline. And Tim, you're right. I mean, there's a ton of conversation about pipeline leadership pipelines. It's really good for churches to begin to think through that because they've abdicated that role for far too long to other, whether it be a denomination or other institutions or organizations. So for the church to own the responsibility to raising up leaders, making disciples who eventually within this pipeline will plant churches is huge. So taking the whole idea of a pipeline and the thought and theory behind that, really that's kind of what we with the church planning pipeline we've implemented. And so there's different gates. Pipeline is built on, let's discover internal people. They're best suited to go and replicate what we want to see within our own culture and DNA within the organization. So that makes sense within a church planning pipeline as well. So you want to send those out that know you and are going to replicate that DNA. And so from that, there's different gates and different kind of measurements and assessments along the way that help just kind of measure how are they progressing? Are they moving forward along the pipeline?
So the pipeline itself is how many stops?
Three stops. We have three different, we call them levels. And so it's a level one, level two, level three. And so go back to the pre-assessment. The pre-assessment really helps determine where do they best fit within that level. Mm-hmm. So that's a key thing. And y'all can probably speak more into this is just how important an assessment is because it really gives that very clear picture not only for the individual, but for those who are, sending the individual behind that individual, encouraging that individual, really a best picture of what that individual is.
Yeah, I would just say a comment on that is that, our mandate is to come alongside of churches and help them plant churches. But it's what we try to do is qualify that, I think, is to say we want them to plant healthy churches. And a healthy church plant comes from a healthy church planter. And the best way to ensure this health is to have an assessment done to know where they are and what they need in their development to be that healthy church planter.
Yeah, that's good.
They're going to have to master things that will be successful in planting that church. So the three stops, what are they?
Yeah. So level one, let me back up and say
that. I really want to know the three stops. I've asked you twice already.
I was about to ask it again, but if you want to avoid it one more time, go ahead.
Well, I think it's important for us to make sure as we understand the pre-assessment that gives that best picture, but also to build the pipeline, it wasn't just kind of random. We didn't just say, hey, these three stops are important stops. What we did is we took the competencies that we're building and assessing around in the pre-assessment as well as our assessment retreat and looking at those competencies to try to determine what best competencies they need to know and practice. And so we took those competencies, and that's where we fit each stop around. So in level one, it's built around two primary foundations. It's really personal development and, the spiritual formation of the individual. And then two, it's their theological formation. So that's stop one.
Spiritual formations and theological underpinnings.
That's right. Okay. That's right. In level two, we built it around missiology and disciple making, and so that's kind of where
so
number
two
is.
How to read your context and how to make disciples out of that context.
That's exactly right. Okay. And then as we went into three, we thought, all right, how best to prepare that planter, and we know that individual is taking it serious if they're going into level three, and not sequentially, but they may be placed in that, but they're right at that brink of planting. So there needs to be further development around contextualization. innovation as well as partner development.
All right.
And so those are the critical points and foundations within those three stops.
And anybody could go through this whole process, lead church planner, team member, man, woman.
That's right. Yes. Right. We created it where there's going to be language in there that's leaning certainly toward the planter, but anybody could go through it and you know, find just the wealth of information and the experience very helpful.
So, Chad, with again, it's free for all here, so we're probably random asking questions all over the place. But as I think about these three stops and the themes or the foundations of each one of them, I'd ask two questions of you to help us better understand. Maybe what are some of the characteristics of those areas? And then if there's a certain kind of philosophy of learning or training that's built into those.
Yeah, great questions, leading questions, so I like those. But yeah, so really internally, we don't use this in any of the print material, really. We have used it internal, but I think it helps give a picture. So level one is really all about a learner. And so what are they learning? What are they kind of taking in to discover more about themselves, just personally from their own spiritual formation as well as theology? Level two, we've talked about being a leader. And so they may be in a small group in level one, but in level two, we want them leading small groups, showing proficiency that they can lead. And so as they're understanding their context and they're discovering their, you know, missiology as well as how to make disciples as well as making disciples in level two, we want them leading in that. And then level three is really we want to see them multiplying. And so on some level, they need to be multiplying that small group or even branching into different areas where the skill set of a planter is shown. So I think, you know, for us, that internal language is there, as well as moving into, you know, some of the other cut on that. You're going to have to edit this. What was the second question?
The second question was I wanted you to talk about LID, basically.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah. The philosophy behind, yeah.
And so part of the internal training or the training within it, we built on adult learning. And so that adult learning really is building around three kind of, you know, foundations where we talk about what do they need to learn, what do they need to integrate, and then what do they need to demonstrate. And that really is built around how are they being transformed. We don't want them just learning things. We don't want them just showing that they have mastered something. We want them being transformed. And so that's really kind of the process that we've built within each of the modules that we call them.
So that is transformation, because that's being before doing.
Yeah.
And that's oftentimes we try to do it the opposite way and hope we do enough doing and being will happen. And that's good.
Yeah, I was just going to say for our listeners who typically we learn by, you know, reading something, researching, things like that. So unpack that a little bit more so that they understand how we're trying to bring about this transformation. When you use that learning, integrate, demonstrate, just some examples of what that means in the course of somebody going through the pipeline.
Yeah, so to avoid getting in the weeds, what we have built is within each level, there's 10 competencies. And you're going to spend 4 weeks working on a competency, and those 4 weeks represent a learning module. And so within each module, that's where that learn, integrate, demonstrate comes out. And so within learn, what we want to do is learning about that module. So they're going to read, they're going to watch, they're going to listen. So they're taking things in that's just challenging their thought. It may be fresh to them, it may be repetitive to them, but they're learning something. The second is that integration. How are they looking at that differently, and how is that affecting them? Whether it's, you know, they're going back and they're writing some journal notes, or they're doing some things, answering some questions, but they're making sure that they're beginning to integrate that into their life. And then the demonstrate is they're doing something with that. They're showing that they are proficient in that by maybe they're going to have a conversation with a planter, maybe they're writing a paper, a reflection paper. So there's different things that they're doing to make sure that that's shown as proficient.
And I think that's one of the beautiful parts of this of the pipeline for folks is it's more comprehensive. It's not, again, just an academic experience. Talk a little bit, though, along the way they have somebody with them. They have a coach. So yeah. Just talk about that part of it.
Yeah, so the goal really is for the local church to drive this. And so we talk about two different people within that scenario, the champion and the coach. The champion is who is championing multiplication within their church, and usually that's the pastor. And many times in churches, they're also going to be the coach. They're going to be the one who is walking with that individual. It may be one person within your church. It may be two or three that you're taking through this. But the coach really is the individual who is asking the right questions, helping them just kind of process the information, seeing that transformation, assessing them over time to really help determine, you know, when they're ready to be sent. So the coach plays a critical role that we encourage them meeting, you know, at least twice a month to really go through that. And we've built in some coaching training, some materials that helps the coach walk the individuals through this this training as well.
So it's a three-year process.
It is.
If a person goes through the assessment determines that they're to start out in level one, then they would spend roughly 10 months in that level if they work at it every week.
That's right. That's right.
And then the same in level two and the same in level three.
That's right.
And we'll talk a little bit, like, if I'm a church planter or leader and I'm thinking about how do I do this, is tell about the platform that was built to host this.
Yeah, and I think that's the strength of this, because there's training everywhere, and we feel like we've put together some really quality training, and the materials there, those who are piloting it right now, the reviews are just incredible. So they're excited about the training. But then we've placed it on a platform that it enables the church to, on several levels, for them to be able to see into that training and see what those individuals that are going through that training are doing and how they're progressing. So it's you know, simple LMS, a learning management system, with task lists and workflows that an individual goes through. But the coach who is coaching that individual can see those individuals that they're coaching and really determine how they're progressing through that. So that's one of those strengths. But also what we did is with this platform, the content can be as flexible and fluid as we want. And so it doesn't restrict us to having, you know, a bound book, you know, that's printed that we have to refresh every, you know, 3 to 5 years that may lose shelf life. And so with this content, we can go in and pull modules out, pull videos out, add, you know, books or blog posts or whatever. So it enables great fluidity.
And a church could create some of its own modules if they wanted to emphasize things.
Yeah, that's the beauty. So we have this prescriptive, you know, content that we have there that's built in, but also with this platform, it enables the church to go in. They can add additional tasks. They can hide tasks. So they can go in and create things. So that's one of the cool things. Like, even with, you know, we talk about theological formation. You know, we have opinions about theology, but your local church probably is more opinionated than we need to be. So we're going to let great freedom there. So you may look at theology and say, well, this is our theological bin, and here's what we're going to insert. And right. So you can create a lot of different things for that really, whether it be the church planner, you as a church planner want to upload a video and say, hey, guys, watch this, or, you know,
if you want to get into Mormon theology or whatever, we're encouraging that, you're saying.
No, I'm not saying
actually,
that.
To get us back on track again, so it's beautiful. Hey, the beautiful part to me is you started out by saying that this allows a church to put the DNA of their church into a planter. So we've got some prescriptive types of skills that we're helping them grow towards, but along the way, a church can add to that to pass along their DNA. I think that's beautiful. But the other part, just to elaborate a little bit more for you to share with us, is because of the delivery system that's out there, that means like any church, you know, they don't have to be in a certain location. So that gives us the opportunity to resource any church anywhere, practically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no, that's right. We've got an onboarding process. We'll roll that out, and it'll be clear. But the great thing about it, and one pastor said, You know, the beauty of this is the fact that I don't have to go and find, and he's a Southern church. He had like, you know, 20 or so people that he thought he wanted to take through it. He doesn't have to find another day of the week necessarily to spend, you know, many hours prepping for that meeting and then having that meeting and arranging 20 schedules of people to try to come to that meeting. So basically you're you know, you can craft it however you want, but it's the individuals go through this training in their time, and then you bring them in one-on-one or one in a cohort for that coaching. So the flexibility of it is just, you know, is great. So, and what we talked about is that we created just rails to be able to run on. And so there's some science behind people who really want to multiply. This gives you the rails to do that.
You know, Chad, I'm just really excited about this for lots of reasons. One, you know my background. I planted a church that planted churches out of that. And as the pastor that was going and all that, I was spending most of my time just doing the tyranny of the urgent to make sure that everybody, the bases were covered and all these, and spending time on fundraising, spending time on, you know, shepherding the flock, doing all the kinds of things. And I knew I had to develop some kind of a path towards this. I just never had the bandwidth to do that. I know there are church planters out there who, in their heart, they know they got to do something like this, but who can? And so this is a real gift. I'm taking 10 leaders through the church, and we're piloting this right now in 28 different churches, and so I'm one of those, and it's just amazing to watch the light bulbs come on, and this platform is, you know, incredibly easy. So these are very busy people, full-time jobs, doing whatever they're doing, and they're carving out about two and a half hours a week working on this, and it's awesome.
Yeah. So Jeff, let me ask, I guess, both of you guys, kind of in light of that, this resource that we're all extremely excited about, feel like we put a lot of effort, energy, and prayer into. What do you see in 10 years as a result of what is about to be released and handed off to churches?
Well, I'll speak to it, then you jump in on it. But we're just I started off this conversation giving sort of statistics of the state of the church. And in Southern Baptist life, if we're 45,000 churches, right now we have less than 4% of them reproducing in any fashion. My goal is by 2030, if we could see 1,800 churches that would be multiplying churches, 1,800 churches that have a system of raising up church planting teams from the congregation and supporting them and equipping them and sending them out to plant churches, that could be the first domino, the first tipping point of changing the trajectory of what we're doing. So to me, it is worth any kind of investment we would give, because I don't know anything we could do that would be more important than that.
Yeah. I mean, you think about just the potential of, even if you had 500 churches that are implementing this pipeline and they're, you know, putting out one, maybe two a year. I mean, we're touching numbers that at that point that we've never seen in reproducing. And so that's just, you know, kind of the tip of the iceberg. Right. So even to get to the 1,800, we need 3,600 or 4,000 churches that are implementing this pipeline to see people, you know, through it to the point that they plant.
We're seeing about 700 to 900 churches in our denomination planted on an annual basis. And we're seeing about 700 to 900 churches die on an annual basis. And so, you know, we're paddling hard just to keep even. Mm-hmm. And we're not even keeping up with church to population ratios. And so this to me is our best chance at sort of pulling out of that sort of incremental growth and hitting another gear. And when I talk to planters, I mean, there's used to be 15 years ago, there's very few that were thinking beyond their own church plant. Now it seems to be the cultural norm that church planters are thinking about how they're going to multiply themselves. Here's a tool that's going to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what when I think about along the same lines as what you guys have just shared, that again, the multiplying effect is that 1,800 churches over the next 12, 13 years. But as we start to put this DNA in the church plants that we're responsible for helping churches plant. Then in 3 years, they give birth to those churches that have this in their DNA. The multiplying effect of this.
Yeah, it's exponential.
It really is exponential, yeah. And it's going to change, I think, the landscape, the spiritual landscape of our country, if not the world. Yes. And so that's not overstating it. That's just, I see that.
So let me ask this. I mean, that's great benefit to the kingdom. It's great benefit to Southern Baptists. But what benefit is it for a church planner that we're talking to today for them to implement this?
That's a great question. Why don't I ask you that, Chad?
Let's see. Well, I think it's huge for them to, you know, to begin to think, all right, for us, if we're going to reproduce ourselves, we're going to make sure that throughout the city, and if we're talking, you know, just within their own city, and that's one of the goals, is that it allows indigenous leaders to be raised up from within and plant indigenous churches, because that really is one of the goals for us. So for them, it's greatly beneficial, yeah, to think through that.
And I would, I didn't know if you were finished or not.
I'm trying to be finished.
How do I land this plane?
To add to that, there's the practical aspect, which is the challenge of reaching a lost city, community, whatever, yeah, that this is going to help that church planter achieve. But I think there's also the spiritual part of this. Mm-hmm. Which, again, maybe it's another podcast for another day, that we talk about that as I trace the character of God, he was a multiplying God, and he always wanted us to go and multiply. And if we recapture that as a church, then I feel like we have the favor of God on us, because we're actually carrying out the very mandate that he gave us as live organisms. A church is a live organism with the mandate to reproduce and multiply and therefore carry the message of the gospel.
And if I'm a church planter, I want to develop some kind of a discipleship track. Mm-hmm. And we know disciples need to be disciple makers. That's what Jesus told us, go into all the world and make disciples. And so this is a perfect discipleship path for a church planter.
Absolutely.
To grow his church. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I don't mean grow in terms of numbers. I mean to grow in terms of spiritual maturity, mm-hmm, and which will grow in numbers if we're making disciple makers. So really excited. Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Tim. Both you guys are doing the lion's share of the work in building this. But this this could be, you know, one of those these. This is a terrible illustration, but sleeper cells that are deposited across North America that will each have their own flywheel, and eventually this thing could just be incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So again, that was a fun conversation to have with Chad, the brief few moments that we had together, and I just love where we're going with this, what we're able to dream about. Jeff, you want to speak into that a little bit more?
Well, it's like all the things we've been building, from, you know, pre-assessment to assessment retreats to training to everything, that's almost like the software that makes – but this thing we're talking about here is the impeller. This is the thing that's really going to make a possibility of seeing movement happen in amongst Southern Baptist church planting. So I'm just dreaming of a day that we continue to put our foot down on the gas on this. I see if we had 1,800 churches – we talked about this earlier,
yes –
4% of Southern Baptist churches that saw themselves as multiplying churches. Mm-hmm. It is a new day, and the trajectory of Christ and the gospel in North America is going to be entirely different.
Yeah, I don't want to try to oversell it, but at the same time, I love the idea of imagining what it would be like when that day of 1,800 churches multiplying, growing up, sending out church planters, how that's really going to change the spiritual landscape of North America.
I think that's what we pray for.
Yeah, absolutely. So knowing that we've kind of piqued the interest of church planters, and Chad had mentioned the fact that we try to get this DNA of multiplication early in the life of our church planters. A couple of places that we want to point them to for more information if we've piqued that interest. So you can go to nam.net/pipeline. And that'll give you some information. But then if you have specific questions, then you can email us at pipeline@nam.net. So the website is nam.net/pipeline, and then an email is pipeline@nam.net. All right, Jeff, anything else?
No, this is great. Let's just pray this comes. Thank you.
All right. Yep. Well, thank you again for joining us. Until next time, be blessed.
You have been listening to the Send Network Podcast, a resource of the North American Mission Board. For more information about today's podcast and other resources to assist you with joining the mission of God, check out namb.net/send-network or email sendnetwork@namb.net.